Good morning, everybody. Get ready, get set, let's go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for each one that came out this morning. Thank you for the great happiness that's ours in Christ Jesus, produced in our souls, transferred to us from heaven above. That happiness that's unexplainable in many instances, even when things seem to be going against us, we can still have the undiminishable, inexpressible joy in Christ. That is the heritage of the children, sons and daughters of God. We thank you for that. Father, bless the Word of God today as we look at your love, the ultimate objective, which is agape. Terry's beautiful message on Friday night. That is toward you as God, toward, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our neighbors, as Vicky sang about on Friday night. Beautiful song written by, of all people, Mr. Rogers. Lovely Christian man. So, Father, bless the service today. We pray in the matchless name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand.
Christ, you was born. Christ, you was born in me. He's now being formed. He's now being formed in me. Day by day, as I choose to walk in life's renewed, focused on Christ the man, being just walking in his plan. I have access to it all. There's no more woe, no more veil to hide your glory from me. It is finished, paid in full. I can see you all so clearly, so clearly. In the mirror of your word I can see Christ being formed in me. Yes, I have died, and my life is hid with Christ. Father, what you see is Christ in me reflecting his glory. The mystery hid from ages past, revealed to me personally. I have access to it all. There's no more woe, no more veil to hide your glory from me. It is finished, paid in full. I can see you all so clearly, so clearly. Christ being formed in me. Wanna know Christ, wanna think Christ. In Christ I'm free to be. faith in Christ, so others see Christ in me. I have access to it all. There's no more wall, no more veil to hide your glory from me. It is finished, paid in full. I can see you all so clearly, so clearly. In the mirror of your word I can see Christ being formed in me. In the mirror of your word I can see Christ being formed in me.
Good job, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to do that for a long time, have our songs as congregational songs, hymns. Here we go. Came to pass. We're gonna take the offering, so let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, bless the offering today, those who give, for the purpose of disseminating the Word of God, this great revealed secret of the mystery, to as many as possible, to as many as desire to have it, to hold it, to treasure it, to never let it go, as it completely motivates and continuously motivates with all urgency, frequency, and priority in our lives, to get the word and to keep it, and to love one another in the local assembly so that all men might know that we are Christ's disciples. In John 13:34 and 35. Father, bless the offering today in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Why would the clay say to the potter, why did you make me this way? The clay should say, mold me and make me into the vessel you see fit to use today. So Lord, I'm your vessel, mold this clay. So Lord, I'm your vessel, mold this clay. He who thinks he's wise in his own eyes surely can understand. Understanding what he needs to think is what Christ thinks, and he'll truly be wise in the Father's eyes. Why would the clay say to the potter, why did you make me this way? The clay should say, mold me and make me into the vessel you see fit to use today. So, Lord, I'm your vessel, mold this clay. So, Lord, I'm your vessel, mold this clay. He who thinks he's wise in his own eyes truly can't understand God's understanding. What he needs to think is what Christ thinks, and he'll truly be wise in the Father's
Good morning once again. Thank you, Vicki. What a fine job you do each and every week. From sea to shining sea, the big picture. Got to have the big picture. You won't know where the individual pieces of the 31,000-piece puzzle fit. So that's the whole purpose of our series, our extended series. Today I've entitled the message in the theme that's been carried through here, through our assembly, through Judy's study, through Terry's message, the theme being agape, love, God's love. It's not like ours at all. Ours doesn't resemble it because there's a fine line between ours, our love, and hate, as you see in so many situations and relationships, marriages, families, etc. Well, it shouldn't be that way, but it is that way. Because man is seriously flawed. And God is perfect. His love is perfect. Sunday, April 30th, 2023. Turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. We're not done with that. We just started. Now, I hope you are fully awake this morning. If you're not, you know what I'll do. Don't you? I'll scream out Ephesians 5:14. But I won't have to do that because you are awake. I need you to repeat things after me this morning. So clear your throat. Get ready for action. And let's go. 1 Timothy 3:16. Homologemonos. Say it. Thank you. Oh, you guys are getting good. Mega Eston. That means by common confession, great is. Then we have Toutes Mysterion. Toutes Mysterion. Say it. Okay, repeat after me. Kai Homologemonos. Kai Homologemonos. Kai Homologemonos Mega Eston. Oh, you guys are good. You're real good. We won't do the last phrase, which is Totes Eusebius Mousterion. We won't do that one today. Acts 21:37. The captain of the guard said to Paul, "Canst thou speak Greek?" Of course, Paul could. He was fluent in numerous languages. So test your knowledge right now on these key Greek words. Only Terry is excluded from answering. You can answer out loud because he knows all of them better than I do in many instances. First one, just shout it out if you know what it means. Peripateo. Oh, good. Okay. See, I never test you on these, so I don't know. Logos. Okay. Theos. Okay. Christos. Doxa. Who said that? Not Terry. Oh, Ty. He's allowed to answer. He knows all of them, too. I should have excluded him, too. Curries. Ah, right. I hope. Oh, boy, I'm glad almost everybody answered that one. Elios. E-L-E-O-S. Who said that? Yeah. All right. How about Theonoustos? How about Staros? Cross. Thanatos. Come on. Death. You died with Christ. Dikaios. Oh, I got work to do. Righteousness. Righteous, yeah. Soter. Yeah, that's Savior, actually. Salvation, yeah. Soteria is salvation. Kurios. No one can say that except by the Holy Spirit, you know, that Jesus is Lord. Hagios. Sanctification, holiness, yeah. How about pneumatos? Mm-hmm. Hamartia. Sin, right? Angelos. Got it. Poimen didaskalos. Thank you. Good. I was hoping you knew that one. Euangelion. Yep, gospel. Gnosis. Ah, they all know the they all know gnosis. Epinosis. Spiritual knowledge, experiential knowledge, right? Oida. Or to see as though you're seeing it right before your eyes. Knowledge as though you see it. Undiminished and undeniable knowledge. Pistis. Elpis. Agape. And the last one, Philadelphia. Okay, we got it. We got it all happening. Beautiful. So how did you do personally? Anybody have any questions? I don't know who answered and who didn't. These are words that have been repeated so many times and defined so many times and with such precision and detail, rightly divided. And the scriptures, all key words to understanding the revelation of Jesus Christ and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Then there's one more word that we'll look at today. It's the word epichorageo. Remember that one? It means to bring in the chorus. This refers to the chorus of virtues in 2 Peter 1:3-6. So anyway, before we get there, let's pick up where we left off on Tuesday. On Tuesday, we left off after we said that he was manifest in the flesh. Manifest in the flesh. Then we had that he was justified or vindicated in the Spirit. And then he was seen or studied by angels. That's Ephesians 3:10. And then we have Ekaruthe and Ethnason, which means that he was believed on. Jesus was believed on, and many believed on Jesus, though they had no idea about anything at all. Faith is little more than nothing at all, even regarding the person of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that engenders faith and lets you know that you have as yet believed in Jesus. You haven't believed in Jesus yet. In John 16:9. We'll get to that in a minute. So, here we have pistuthe, which is the aorist passive third person singular. It means believed on. Then it says in and cosmo. You know what the cosmos is. What's cosmos? The world, right? Believed on in the world. Paul says, so we preached, doesn't matter who did, but we preached, and so you believed. That's how it works. We preached, you believed. The Holy Spirit was working beneath the surface. Deep within, very mysteriously, through the mystery of the gospel and how the gospel functions. We're going to talk about that today. It's not what you think. It's not you preached it, people believe because you're such a good preacher. You could preach until you're blue, purple, till you're dead. And there's people that will never believe the gospel. And you could be completely empowered, as we all are, on a continuous basis by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, that won't mean a thing. Because it's God's work, not yours. The Spirit's work, not yours. He might engage or employ you in some small way with regard to the gospel. Speak a word in season. And, of course, the gospel itself, the message itself, the person of Christ himself, is the evangelist. He's the prophet of all prophets, the priest of all priests, the king of all kings, the pastor of all pastors, the evangelist of all evangelists. And he gifts certain ones in the communication of his word. But that's not the key. The key is he. He is the key. He is the key. He holds the keys of death and hell. He holds the keys of David. He holds the keys that unlock the 13 doors, behind which are the 13 facets of the mystery. And he is the mystery messenger and man. Above and beyond Paul, Jesus Christ. Paul only and always points to Christ, not himself. He says, we preach Christ and not ourselves. We preach ourselves as simply slaves of Christ and ministers of Christ to you, sent for your benefit. That's all. He says, we are not the lords over anyone's faith, but helpers, only helpers of your joy. I hope you're happy when you leave here most of the time. You're happy when you come in. I was just saying to Rose, I said, man, what a bunch of happy people. Look at these people. They're all smiling and just really enjoying the fellowship of the local assembly, which is a wonderful thing to see. Makes my life worth living. See it. Nothing else motivates me more than that. Than to see God's children walking in the truth. Beautiful. And guess what? It's always seen in real, abiding, lasting happiness. Real happiness. And happier than thou rather than holier than thou. Although holiness comes along with it. God determines that anyway, not man. What man says is holy might be self-righteous and arrogant. And what God sees as holy might be considered something else altogether. Anyway, so, we have the mystery of the gospel. Paul's prayer request in mind is found in Ephesians 6:19. He says, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. What's the mystery of the gospel? Only believe. People say, well, that can't be it. That's too simple. So simple they missed it. Only believe. Faith alone in Christ alone, the only condition for eternal salvation. Granted, it must be real, but God determines that. To be real, it must be devoid, listen carefully, of any and all works. Any and all rituals. You say, but don't you have to be baptized? Nope. You can be, and it's a beautiful symbol and testimony of faith in Christ. And I wouldn't hinder anybody from being baptized. What hinders me from being baptized? Said the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip said, he said, there's water right there. So they got out of the chariot, he went down and he baptized him. And he went on his way rejoicing. He was so happy from that day forward. spread the gospel through Ethiopia. He was the accountant for the queen of Ethiopia. So, it has to be devoid of all works, rituals, and promises. You don't come, you know, what Billy Graham says, you got to make your commitment to Christ tonight. That's gives somebody the wrong reason, the wrong idea. Well, here's the thing, and I don't fault him in any way, because the Holy Spirit filters that for these people. And so many of them are church people that go to Billy Graham Crusades, that went to Billy Graham Crusades, and finally they understand the message of salvation through the preaching of Billy Graham. And they went to church all their lives and didn't even know, and weren't even saved. And many were. And make a new commitment, in a sense, have a crisis of consecration, and follow the Lord from that time forward. I don't critique or judge any of that. I'm saying it's fine just the way it is. But it's not about making your commitment to God. It's about faith in the person of Christ. You know from our passage in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth, the mouth of your heart to the ear of God, not to people, but to the ear of God with your mouth, Lord Jesus, you recognize him as the Lord, Kyrios, Yesu, Jesus Christ is Lord, which you cannot say apart from the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. You say, Jesus is Lord. That's the start. You recognize who he is. Acknowledge and affirm his true identity. That's first. Or you're believing in maybe the Mormon Jesus, who's not Jesus at all. He's the brother of Satan in Mormonism. That's not Jesus. He created Satan and watched him fall like lightning from heaven, so that we might be really happy in recognizing that our names are written in heaven. So, to be real, our moment, our encounter with Christ, must be devoid of any and all works, rituals, and promises to do better or be better, which you won't be able to do anyway. You might ask, after all, isn't that what God's after? Doesn't he want you to be better? The answer is a resounding no. He doesn't. He's only after those who come to Christ, drawn by him, by his death on the cross, his burial and his resurrection. Remember? Confess with the mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That means he had to die, he had to be buried, he had to be raised, as he said, on the third day. And he says, and you'll be saved. That's the promise. Listen, confess to God with the mouth of your heart, to the ear of God, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, where God sees, he looks upon the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. He looks upon the heart where he sees believing in Jesus, believing that Jesus is alive, that God raised him from the dead. That person is immediately, instantly, permanently saved forever by him, by God, by the work of Christ, by the eternal work, the finished work of the Father from all eternity in Romans 8:29-30, by the ongoing work of the Spirit, the finished work of Christ upon the cross, saved. In John 12:32, Jesus said, if I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to myself. And he has. Will all of them believe? No, of course not. But many will. Many do. Countless numbers do each and every day around the world today. You know that, don't you? There's no religion that has more claimants, subscribers, true believers than Christianity does, because it's the only, not even a religion, it's redemption, but it's the only true, it's the only truth of spiritual life. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. So, knowing that as we do, we dare not forget it. We tell other people the same thing. We don't say, well, you can be saved if you're good. That's what so many people really, in essence, are saying to others. Well, I used to be bad and now I'm good. I used to be a drug addict and now I'm not. I used to be this, an alcoholic. I used to do this. I used to be a sex fiend, but now I'm not. That's not salvation. If you think that's how God, why God accepts you, you're sadly mistaken, my dear friend. That's not what it's about. He's after those who come to Christ, drawn to him by the cross. If I'm lifted up, I'll draw men to myself. Those drawn by the Father. See, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit do the work. Drawn by the Father, John 6:44, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And that one I will raise up on the last day. John 6:65, and he was saying, for this reason I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father and by the Holy Spirit. In John 16:7, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage, Jesus said to his disciples, the upper room discourse, that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, parakletos, the one that draws alongside to strengthen, and to bring spiritual power and life and to engender faith, he will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not, have not, believed, yet believed in me. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. Only those who realize that they must come without one plea, that they must come just as they are candidates for eternal salvation. Receive that salvation as a free and irrevocable gift. Something God alone determines in Matthew 7:23. He says to some who did all these wonderful works, I don't know you. I never knew you. I don't even know your name. It's as though you don't exist. You're dead to me. Because you are dead, spiritually dead, by first birth. And then it says in 2 Timothy 2:19, that there is an inscription, a superscription, on the foundation of Christianity, which says, the Lord knows those who are his. And of those who are his, let every one of them be very careful to depart from wrongdoing. Learn how to live the spiritual life. Enter in voluntarily and to cooperation with the Lord in personal, progressive, experiential sanctification. That's what we're here for. So that you might finish your course with joy. That you might glorify God by receiving grace all the days of your life and growing in this amazing and motivating gratitude to God for all that he's done and given you. That's how you glorify God. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, to receive a full reward. 2 John 9. Full reward. By keeping the word ever before your eyes, guarding it in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Sanctify them, Father, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Psalm 119:11. So, Even so, faith is little more than nothing at all. On the human side, it's the gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. But on the human side, it's little more than nothing at all. And one's conversion may not be seen for many a year, like mine, perhaps like yours, like Greg's, like Peter, the Apostle Peter. You didn't see his for a long time. Nevertheless, it'll come. Don't give up on anyone. Greg, what if we gave up on you? We couldn't, but what if we did? Oh, my. Or what if my mom and dad and all my relatives and those who knew me and or were, you know, given the task of praying for me as I grew up and the angelic protection that was mine to keep me alive and till the Lord could deal with me in such a way and almost had to kill me, but that's okay. I love it. Until I was afflicted, I went astray. But what if they hadn't done what they did? Oh, my. Don't give up on anyone, because God didn't give up on you, but brought you along very slowly, as evidenced by your knowledge of those Greek words. Very slowly. He doesn't care about such things, I don't think. He might. Anyway, as the Lord Jesus interceded for you. That's why. Praying for you that in the end your faith would not fail. Luke 22:32, that's what he did for Peter. He says, I pray for you, Peter, that your faith would not fail. And when you are converted, when you're converted down the road, strengthen your brethren. No one dare who preaches Paul's gospel need be ashamed or ever apologize for saying and preaching that it's faith alone, sola fide, in Christ alone, for eternal salvation, and after salvation, sanctification is faith alone in the Word of Christ alone, in Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, ek pistios, eis piston, from faith, out from faith alone, into faith alone. Just as it stands written, the just or the righteous shall live eternally and experientially and righteously by faith. That's the only way you can do it. Every time you believe the word of God, he imputes righteousness to faith. Just as you believed in Christ and his righteousness was imputed to you. Well, the word of righteousness says every time you take in the word of God and mix faith with it, that righteousness grows. It's always his. It's never yours. But it grows. And we grow in gratitude. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in 2 Peter 3:18. So, Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I preach it like this all the time. I never add anything to it, for it is all by itself invested with God's power, dunamis, for salvation to everyone who merely believes it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It means it works for the Jew just like it does for the Greek. For the Greek, just like it does for the Jew. So, that was believed on in the world and now received up in glory. This is a hard one to pronounce. It is. We're going to have a hard time getting this when I ask you to repeat this one, because I'm not sure I even know how to pronounce it. It's Avalamothe. How's that? A V No, NL. NL. I put the V as a V. It's not. It's the V in Greek is N. Analethe. It's an M. It's this one. Listen, it's a PHTH. Say PHTH. One of these days we'll learn how to say those words. Anyway, that's the word for received up. Received up. Here again, following the pattern of Christ's journey, we too will be as he was, received up in glory in the end. I told you all these things are true of him and true of you. True of Christ, God's mystery of Christ, and the mystery of you, the body of Christ. Acts 1:9, after he said these things, he was lifted up. Jesus was. While they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, we'll not all sleep, we won't all die, but we will all be changed at the same time. I show you a mystery, that's what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. So you can argue about whether the rapture is something that is valid in the scriptures. I know it is. It's called the blessed hope of the church, waiting and looking for and anticipating the glorious coming of Christ. You say, well, that people say that's the second coming. I don't think so. It's the mystery coming. John 11:26, Jesus said, those who are alive when I come will never die. You're going to go into heaven alive. Be changed, but go into heaven alive. That's what he said at the tomb of Lazarus. He said to Mary and Martha in the crowd, he said that even if a man dies physically, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me, that is, infers when he comes, will never die. Then he says, do you believe this? And the answer better be, sure, of course we do. And so that's John 11:26. Titus 2:13 calls the soon appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the blessed hope. That's your blessed hope. The blessed hope of the church. Without which, you have no purity in your life. Because only those who have this hope purify themselves. Right, Terry? 1 John 3:3. Only those who have this hope purify themselves. To be holy and blameless before him at his coming. And then, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says that we will meet the Lord in the air. Dang, what's that mean? You know, those who teach that when Christ comes, it's going to be just one big second coming and all these things happen at once. There's no mention of us going up in the air. That requires a rapture. You're going to be snatched away violently from the earth, harpazo, into the air. Just like Christ went up, you're going to go up. Revelation 4:1, John is the privileged spectator. And what does the Lord say to him after he tells him, gives him the panoramic view of all church history through to the last, the seventh one, which is the one we're in, the age of Laodicea. It's coming. It's coming. He says, get up here. That's what he's going to say. And we're all going to go up and meet him in the air. Say as you will. Believe as you wish. Don't skip over. Don't throw the baby out with its bath water. See, they didn't believe in this at all until like the 1500s. That's absolutely false. Whoever says stuff like that, better run and hide. It's not true. It's always been in the scripture. It's always been in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. Always. In the rest of these passages that I mentioned. Here, it says he was received up in glory. In glory, and doxa, Christ in you is the hope, the anticipation, the expectation of your imminent glorification. Colossians 1:25. Of this church I was made minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the word of God, that I might fulfill the word of God, literally. Where it says preaching, notice it's in italics, it doesn't say preaching, that Paul might put the cap on the New Testament scripture. The highest revelation given to anyone, including John, is the revelation of the mystery. Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Christ and the body of Christ. All that pertains to him and to us as body parts of his, in union with him, indissoluble union with Christ for eternity. So, he says, I might fully carry out or fulfill the word of God. Then he says, the mystery. The word, the phrase, conjunction, that is, it's not there either. It's italicized. Be careful. When you read the New Testament, always look for italicized words because they're added in ellipsis. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they miss it by a mile. Here they missed it. He says, that I might fulfill the word of God, the mystery fulfills the word of God. How important is it? It fulfills the word of God. Without it, you can't understand the big picture at all. Which was hidden, has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to us, here, in 2023. Long time since you've been here, 2007, 2007 years, or thereabouts, when he was crucified. And he says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, Gentiles or nations, ethnos. He said, believed on in the world, that is, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory, which is Christ in you, the hope, the hope, the hope of glory, 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 glory. Repeat after me. Chi homologemenos. Mega esten. Thank you. Okay, I don't want you to forget. Along with the notes from today that I've been sending out, anybody find them interesting or helpful? Okay, good. I'm not going to ask who doesn't. You don't have to open them. You don't have to print them or anything else. You don't have to look at them. That's up to you. Entirely up to you. Don't tell me that you're not doing it, though, because I don't want to know. I want to think everybody is. So, along with the notes from today, I will be sending you the Greek-English phonetic version of 1 Timothy 3:16 for you to print, place in your Bible, in order that you might live on it here, and with a view to your Bema evaluation. What if you could stand before the Lord and quote in the Greek, and because you know it so well and you love it so much, 1 Timothy 3:16. He'll go like this. Oh, I was going to withhold this one, but you get it. I'm giving it to you anyway. I'm being facetious. It'd just be a wonderful thing to have. I'm intent on doing it. And the older you get, the harder it is to memorize things like that. But I'm intent on doing it. And I got most of it, but I'll get the rest of it in short order. And you can join me if you'd like. So, you're going to have a phonetic version for you to print. So, with regard to the mystery, like him, we are in him, manifest in the flesh. He indwells us. Christ is manifest in our flesh. Okay? Like him, like he was, we're justified and raised already in Christ. Read Romans 6, if you don't know that. 6, 7, 8. Like him, like he was, we are being studied by angels. Ephesians 3:10. Like he did, we preach and proclaim the gospel at home and abroad, throughout the ethnos, the nations, wherever believers live. Like him, like he did, proclaiming the gospel, Christ is believed on in the world, and many people come to Christ each and every day. It's not man that does it. It's Christ that does it. It's the Father that does it. It's the Spirit that does it. Like him, like he was, we will also be received up into glory. All true of Christ and you. He said, greater deeds than these you will do. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Through the body of Christ and its many parts, Christ in every way is in every way represented in the world. Not by any one person, but by every single part, every portion. Not in one place, but in every place where any member of the body of Christ is found, knowingly and without knowing Christ, he is manifest, or with knowingly and unknowingly, Christ is manifested, vindicated, studied, proclaimed, believed, and received all the time through all of us, even if we don't see it. It's still happening all the time. People are noticing something about you that you may not even see or notice yourself. Not because it doesn't exist, because God keeps us from seeing it and knowing it in order that we would not be arrogant or think that we're something when he's everything and we're nothing. In Galatians 6:2. We most often do not see it in ourselves, but most certainly see it in the others, in your fellowship with others, who in turn see it in you also. They hear it in you, see it in you, see Christ in you. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance, all of us, no one's excluded, of Christ, to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma of death unto death, the unbelieving, and to the other an aroma of life unto life. And then he says this, who in and of themselves is adequate for these things? You can't do it. God does it. Indeed, it's a mystery. One with many parts. All of it worthy of knowing. All worthy of having and holding. All very mysterious for a life of beauty and wonder. That is in our beautiful and wonderful Lord and Savior. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. What does it mean when I just told you? You're going through the same thing he was. Fully identified with Christ. We are his ambassadors, his representatives, his agents of redemption, of salvation, of grace, and otherworldly kindness and goodness. See, Children's Hospital has never seen anyone like Ty and Lynette, I guarantee you, who refuse to be discouraged, but rather trust God come what may. Through the word that richly indwells and fills their hearts. We love you guys. We commend you. You're magnificent. You're blowing us away. They are a mystery, an enigma, a spectacle, theatron, to men and angels, a shining example of grace under pressure. 1 Timothy 3:16 is such an important passage, so deep and wide in its meaning and its application. Worthy of being learned very deeply, meditated upon in order to derive personal enlightenment and a deepening personal reality and manifestation of the life of Christ in us and in one another, in adoration of the Lord Jesus. Let's learn this verse little by little. First in the English. We do have to learn English first. So repeat after me. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. I knew you could do that one. There you go. That's all the further we'll go today. Oh, no, we'll do this. Ready? Chi homologemonos mega esten. Oh, you got that part already. It's amazing. This is how I taught my daughter Erica the Word of God. Every night I laid on her bed, and I had a little red Bible that's designed for evangelism. It had a lot of evangelistic verses and many other verses in it. And we would go phrase by phrase until she remembered them. And we'd add the next phrase and go again and again and again until she had 30 of them, which are hers to this day. She'd never forgotten them. If you ever really memorize something, there's no effort in remembering it at all. It's there for the use, for your use. Like the poem, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, which I learned so many years ago, and it's just there. I don't have to ever think, well, how does that start? I know how it starts. I know how it ends. I know it's in the middle. So anyway, so at the Bema, that's the judgment seat of believers, family-style judgment, where rewards will be handed out and or withheld, or there'll be no condemnation but only commendation. The Lord will say to me, you tried to get your congregation to memorize and meditate on this most important and far-reaching passage, verse, that opens the vista of the big picture, and though none of them learned it in the Greek, a few learned it in English. And therefore, I commend you for a job well done. He loves that verse. Just like you do. Like we do. More so than we do. Therefore, he'll say to me, I will make you the dean of memorization. And Ty Gump will be the professor emeritus of for his grand accomplishment in this verse and many others, including his masterful accomplishment in Psalms and Proverbs. You think that's not possible? I do. I think it is possible. I think that may very well happen. I've never seen anything like these guys. And his wife far more spiritual than he is. She'd have to be to live with him. Even as my wife is. It's not easy to be married to a pastor. I assure you. First of all, you have to learn how to play the piano and do puppet shows for children. No, you don't. People will take that as a soundbite off our message and say, do you hear what that stupid guy said? He said, pastors' wives have to play the piano. And they don't. Anyway, so we got through the first pass on our verse. Manifest or revealed, justified or vindicated, studied or viewed by angels, preached or proclaimed among the nations, believed on, relied upon in the world, and raptured or received up in glory. In all of this, you are God's field. You are God's building. You are His holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2:21, I told you this is going to be about love. We're never getting to the love part. That'll be for next week. Next week will be love. This will be The Mystery of Godliness 3, Part 3. We'll change the title, okay? Because we're not going to get to the love part. Ephesians 2:21. Then we'll go to Ephesians 4:16. Colossians 2:19. Matthew 6:18. About how the church was built by Jesus Christ, fitly framed together, with epikorigeo, believers bringing in the chorus, paying without money, buying the truth and not selling it, Proverbs 23:23, so that every one of us might add something that faith doesn't contain, which is virtue, which is love, God's love. Love and her 8 offspring, or 8 children, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Beautiful word. The beautiful word of God. So beautiful. So symmetrical. So tri-perfect in every way. Quintessential. in its perfection, its content, form, fashion. So beautiful. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the mystery, which really completes us, even as it completed the word of God. Completes us. We finally know who Jesus Christ is first, how important that is, and how it is revealed to so few really do know him with any depth or any reality, with any real reality. We need to know him. Paul says that I may know him. I want to know all about his suffering and suffer with it, camaraderie, and have rapport with him, and know what it means that I can live in supernatural resurrection power every single day. Show us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. We thank you because we know that is your desire, and that's what the mystery does and is able to do, accomplish in us. We thank you for these things, and we pray for your protection, your safety, and true prosperity of soul for each one here as we continue on in the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
We could all stand.